Greetings, friends, and welcome to this broadcast of Bible Studies. Ken Baird, your speaker. Today on the broadcast, we're going to begin a new series of studies, which we are going to entitle The Seven I Ams of Revelation. Now, on this program, some time back, we took up the subject, The Seven I Ams of John's Gospel. And perhaps we can review those just briefly to stir up our pure minds by way of remembrance, as Peter puts it in his epistle, the seven I Ams of John's Gospel. Now, the significance of these I Ams is that the Lord uses his divine title in connection with each of these I Ams. You remember that in the third chapter of Exodus, God identifies himself by his name of deity, I Am. It's the greatest fact in the universe, and he is indeed living in the eternal presence. We read back in Exodus chapter 3, the experience of Moses on Mount Horeb. We read there in verse 1 of the third chapter of Exodus, "Now Moses kept the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian, and he led the flock to the backside of the desert, and he came to the mountain of God, even to Horeb. And the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a flame of fire out of the midst of a bush. And he looked, and behold, the bush burned with fire, and the bush was not consumed. And Moses said, I will now turn aside and see this great sight, why the bush is not burnt. And when the Lord saw that he turned aside to see, God called unto him out of the midst of the bush and said, Moses, Moses. And he said, Here am I. And he said, Draw not nigh hither, put off thy shoes from thy feet, for the place whereon thou standest is holy ground. And Moses indeed promptly took his shoes off his feet. He was standing in the presence of God. God was in that burning bush. Now God told Moses, I am come down to deliver the children of Israel out of the bondage of Egypt. I've heard their cries. It has gone long enough, and I'm going to use them, or going to use you, rather, to release them from that bondage. Moses immediately objected. Moses had been 40 years in that wilderness. He'd forgotten that he was the prince of Egypt at one time in his life. But God told him, I'm going to use you. And Moses immediately was skeptical. Use me? Can God use me? A shepherd? I've been a shepherd for 40 years. Yes, God uses shepherds to guide his people. Our Lord Jesus Christ says, I am the good shepherd. Moses said unto God in verse 13 of Exodus chapter 3, Behold, when I come to the children of Israel and shall say unto them, The God of your fathers hath sent me unto you, and they shall say to me, What is his name? What shall I say unto them? And God said unto Moses, I am that I am, and these words are all in capital letters. And he said, Thus shalt thou say unto the children of Israel, I am hath sent me unto you. Now that isn't good grammar. If we use it just the words as they come to us in their regular usage. But when you capitalize the words, I am, his divine title is his name. It's his title. I am hath sent me unto you. This is the title of God. He lives in the eternal present. You and I are creatures of time. We have a past because the past becomes more remote. It fades away from our memories. Until perhaps in some instances the past is entirely gone. We have a future because the future is unknown. We live in the present, of course, but we have the past, the present, and the future in regard to the fact that we are creatures of time. But God is timeless. He lives in eternity, and he is the great I Am in the present tense. No past tense with God. His memory never fades. Our memory fades because it weakens. His memory never fades. And he sees the future as if it had already happened. Prophecy is really history written in advance. Now God says to Moses, I am hath sent you. Now this is the significance of these studies, both in John's Gospel and the book of Revelation. Now in the Gospel according to St. John, the Lord Jesus refers to himself, as we've already studied on the broadcast some time back, under seven different figures in which he is related to us. He says in John chapter 6, I am the bread of life. Now that doesn't mean that he simply is here to satisfy our physical hunger. He's the bread of life to satisfy our soul's hunger. He says in chapter 8, I am the light of the world. And he shines into our lives, and shows up our sin. He did it there in that 8th chapter of John when he revealed to those people that accused the fallen woman of committing adultery that they too were sinners. He shone into their lives and indeed enlightened their consciences, and they slipped away. They didn't accuse her anymore. So he says, I am the light of the world. Now after he shows us our sin, shows us our need of him as our Savior, because he loved us, because he died for us on the cross when God laid all our sins upon Christ. He died for you and for me. Now, after we are saved, after we trust that, after we're born again, then indeed we have the light that he shines upon our pathway to guide us. Now, in John chapter 10, he says, I am the door unto heaven. Not a door, I am the door. And he says, I am the good shepherd, in contrast to the idol shepherd of Zechariah chapter 11. In chapter 11 of John's Gospel, he says, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth on me shall never die. And our Lord Jesus Christ in John chapter 14 says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. You can't reach the Father except through Christ. I am the way. And then in chapter 15, he says, I am the true vine, and we are connected with him, and we receive our strength from him, and when we're connected with Christ, we bring forth fruit. And now to get to the book of Revelation, in chapter 1, we have the first I am of the Lord's designation there. Now in the book of Revelation, the Lord does not relate himself to a figure as he does in the Gospel according to St. John. He just says, I am, and by the context we may attribute to him what he is to you and to me. Now in the first chapter of the book of Revelation, we have our Lord Jesus Christ referring to himself as the first and the last, the Omega, and the Alpha and the Omega. I think we can just do nothing better than to start reading Revelation chapter 1, verse 4, John to the seven churches which are in Asia, grace be unto you and peace from him which is to come, from the seven spirits which are before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness, and the first begotten of the dead, the prince of the kings of the earth, unto him that loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood, and hath made us kings and priests unto God and his Father, to him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Behold, he cometh with clouds, and every eye shall see him. They also that which pierced him, and all kindreds of the earth, shall wail because of him. Even so, amen. And then he says, I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the ending, saith the Lord, which is, which was, and which is to come, the Almighty. I am Alpha and Omega. I am the beginning and the ending. Alpha is the first letter of the Greek alphabet, and Omega is the last letter. We would say from A to Z, he is God. Now he says here, I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the ending, saith the Lord, which is. That's primarily the lasting impression he wants to leave on John, which John will surely tell the seven churches. I am he, or rather, I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the ending, saith the Lord, which is, he lives in the eternal present, but he condescends to yours and my concept of time, and which was and which is to come. And then he gives us a wonderful, wonderful truth: the Almighty. Now, when the Lord here speaks of himself as the Almighty, he does it at the very beginning of the book of Revelation. This is very significant. The I Am is the Almighty. The book of Revelation is a book of judgment. We have the judgment of the churches in chapters 2 and 3. And then we have the judgment of the world in the later chapters. And man seems to have his heyday in the chapters between. But God is judging in the book of Revelation. Men may put Christ out of their lives, but I'm telling you, they are going to know him in that day. Now he says, I am the Almighty. I'm going to call this the I Am of Comfort. We need to remember that God always has everything under his control. In the book of Revelation, it would seem that all nature has been wrecked, is out of order, is in complete disarray. Anarchy abounds. It would seem that Satan is in absolute control. But God is in control. He's the Almighty. And he tells us in the first chapter of the book of Revelation, I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the ending, saith the Lord, which is, which was, and which is to come, the Almighty. This comforts me. Now, you're at perfect liberty, if you wish, to ascribe another title, another designation to this I Am, if you wish. If you can do a better job of it than I am doing, please write me and tell me so I can do the best I can. But I am going to say that this I Am is the I Am of comfort. God is in control through the entire book of Revelation, through all of those judgments. Many, many people of God will be martyred, but it will be to obtain a better resurrection. Glory to the Lord. They have the privilege of dying for the Lord who died for them, the Almighty. And this we need as we enter the study of the book of Revelation in the seven I Ams of Revelation, to comfort us that things are under the control of God. He is the Almighty. And may God help us to realize that even in our lives, that we may place our hands in his hands of omnipotence. Our Father, today we pray in the name of the Lord Jesus that you bless these studies in the book of Revelation as we consider the seven I Ams of this wonderful book. We pray in Christ's name. Amen. Thank you.